but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Chauncey Billups and the Blazers. A lot of people nationally talking about this poker game, these private poker games. I want to go to one of the experts. I don't think we could have a better guest on this subject than one of the top-ranked female poker players in the world. She's in the Women's Poker Hall of Fame. She's won more than $5 million. She was the number two-ranked player in the world. And he works as a TV host and analyst. She gives TED Talks. She is a Renaissance woman, Maria Ho, joining us now. How are you? What are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing good. Your tweet yesterday caught my eye because you tweeted out that you try to stay away from these private poker games. And, of course, everybody nationally talking about these games. Help us to understand more about that. From a legit poker player, what is that world like, and what are those private games like?
Yeah, well, I've been playing poker professionally now for 20 years. So, you know, throughout that time, I obviously started playing in the casinos and in the card rooms first, and I've always felt really safe. But as I kept on playing, and especially when I started, you know, upping the stakes, I was getting invitations, and I was realizing there's a whole world out there of underground poker games, home games, these private games, and they're always held, you know, in really nice settings. And most of the time, it's because the VIP players want to be able to dictate who they play with, right? So if you walk into a casino or a card room, you essentially go on a public list, and you're just playing with strangers, and it's just whoever's next up on that list gets put into the game that you're sitting in. And so, you know, it just allows people to cherry pick who they play with, which is something that some of these VIPs or whales, as people call them, want to be able to do. And obviously there's extra amenities, shall we say, at some of these games, right? So the environment is a little bit different than the casino games, but when you think about it, it definitely opens up the ability for there to be cheating, for there to be, you know, foul play, because it is not in a regulated environment. They are not beholden to the rules of, you know, having their gaming license revoked if something were to, you know, were to not be on the up and up.
Give us an idea, because you've been invited into these rooms. Like, I would think that they would want you in the room because you're going to legitimize the game. They're going to say, oh, Maria, we've watched her play. We've seen her on TV playing poker. She's a professional player. She's in the Hall of Fame. So they're bringing you, or they would want to bring you, or maybe a professional athlete into the room because it legitimizes the game. Is that, am I reading that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's definitely a part of it, because you have to ask yourself, you know, as a professional poker player, what is their incentive for wanting me in the game if I could potentially be winning a lot of money off of their VIPs? And it's exactly what you said. It legitimizes their game. I know people and game runners that have used my name and said, oh, Maria's going to be showing up at our game tonight, when I don't even know them, when I've never played in their game before. But like you said, it somewhat legitimizes their game, and it makes people feel like, oh, well, you know, I get the opportunity to maybe play against Maria. Like, people don't want to obviously show up in a game where they think they're going to lose. But for some of these VIPs, it's almost kind of fun to play against tough competition. So they view that as a challenge. And so there's definitely a little bit of that. And there's also the flip side of, you know, which is what happened, I think, in these NBA mafia-run games that people have been talking about, is that as a professional player, if you start getting invited to a game with a bunch of celebrities, you got to start wondering, wait, am I maybe the mark now? Because like I said, they only want you for so long, right, before you take all of the money out of their ecosystem. So aside from maybe getting the opportunity to play with you, if you keep getting invited back, even if you're winning every single time you're showing up, then you have to start thinking maybe there's something else to this.
Yeah, they're not going to want you in the room if you're winning and taking the money out of the room with you. Maria Ho is our guest. Help me understand how, you know, you rig a game. We saw the Department of Justice talk about marked decks, X-ray machines, special glasses. What have you heard about in that private world?
I mean, there's just so many different ways, unfortunately. And, you know, even when technology was a lot more primitive, it would just always start with a really good card mechanic for a dealer, right? And there are still some home games where at the very, you know, base level of cheating, that's who they're getting to deal and put in the box for these games. It's just someone who is able to deal from the bottom of the deck or deal in a way where they can, you know, set up the cards in a certain order. So certain people at the table get certain hands and get these kind of setup hands. But now technology has improved so much that the ways that people are cheating are so sophisticated. So, for example, there are, you know, invisible ink on cards that you could easily buy. I think if you Google it, you could literally find 4 or 5 different websites that are selling this where there's just some contact lenses that you wear, and then you can see the invisible ink, and it literally tells you what card is what. But then it goes all the way up to there's these shuffle machines that are actually used in casinos, and the shuffle machines are automatic shufflers so that you get dealt more hands more often. And home games will, quote unquote, buy these shuffle machines, right, and be like, oh, yeah, you've seen this in your local casino. But what they've done is it's already been rigged to basically read the cards after the cards are shuffled in the shuffler. There's, you know, like a USB port or something that helps you basically read the order of the cards, and that information and that data is sent to a computer monitor, to a cell phone, and they basically know at that point, before the cards are even dealt, you know, seat one's going to have this hand, seat two's going to have this hand, the board is going to run out, you know, 2, 3, 7, ace, king, all hearts, or whatever, you know, the case may be. And then there's also just infrared decks with barcodes on the side where once you shuffle it, the barcodes will, it's invisible to the naked eye, but with the technology, you're able to see it, and that information goes to a computer or, again, a phone, and then you can see the order of the cards that way as well.
According to the indictment, these games, you know, they would have multiple players who were operating as part of a team at the same table, and so then it becomes a little more difficult because you see, you know, player A winning a hand and then player B winning a pot. And then so it doesn't look like the same person's winning all the time. But what are some red flags for you, Maria, if you're at a table where your radar goes up? Does it have to do with the hand you're getting dealt? Does it have to do with the action of the dealers, the action of the other players? What are you watching?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a few things to look out for is when it seems very impossible for certain players to be entering into the pots with the hand that they're holding, right? Like, yes, in poker, you can play any 2 cards. And on any given day, any hand can win. But if somebody is deciding to put, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in with, you know, 2 outs, for example, which, you know, is not there, you know, which is not a lot of outs, and it's not a big chance that they could win. Like, if it's like they're improbably, you know, willing to put all their money on the line and all the chips in the middle for a hand that has, you know, a 2% chance of winning or a 4% chance of winning, then you got to think, okay, is this person just that bad at poker and that big of a gambler, or do they know something that I don't know? Do they know that this, you know, gut shot straight is going to hit on the river? Do they know that their 2-outer, you know, to make a full house is going to come on the turn? It's about, you know, them willing to bet big on hands that have a very low probability of winning. And then there's also just the collusion tactics that, like you said, rarely are people doing this on their own. They're always in a team. And so sometimes they'll try to build the pot. For example, player A will raise, and then player B, who's not involved in the scheme, will call. And then player C, who's also involved in the scheme with player A, is going to raise now, and that traps you know, player B in the middle, right? So you have to start watching for, you know, certain players that always seem to be raising the pot when they're in the same pot with a third or a fourth player. And also, you know, you just have to be really observant. I think part of poker in general, you know, part of being a good poker player is being observant, is being perceptive. And when you are at these home games, they start, you know, piling you with free drinks. You know, there's a lot of distractions. There's massages. There's girls. There's food. You know, there's all these things that they're trying to distract you from what's really going on. And so just, like, never lose sight of what you're really there for. You know, it's, you're there to have a good time. You're there to have fun. But they're all distractions to get you to not actually notice what is going on, which is, you know, maybe you see that the dealer is manipulating the cards very strangely, you know, again, with some of the more primitive technology to cheat. A dealer can just literally wear a ring that it kind of acts like a mirror, and it reflects the bottom card so they could see the bottom card when it's being dealt out. So it's just kind of looking for the dealer's hands, looking for, you know, how they're dealing out the cards, looking for how other players are responding in really big pots when there's multiple players involved.
We're talking to Maria Ho. She is one of the best professional poker players in the world. Look, you've done this for a long time. You get invited to those games. You're doing the legitimate games in the casinos. Then you get an invitation to a private game. Like, how different is that room as far as, like, are you going to get paid even if you win? And what do you have to worry about beyond just the actual cheating?
Yeah, I mean, so beyond the actual cheating and, of course, just the imminent danger of games being raided or somebody robbing the games, that happens pretty frequently. It's not always in the news, but, you know, if you're in the know of these private games, you know that, you know, so-and-so's game got robbed last week, and then 2 months later, somebody's game got raided. And so definitely there's a safety element. You have to be really careful, and you have to be, you know, really wary of that. But also, in terms of getting paid, most of the time, because of the large sums these private games are playing for, no one is showing up to the house with hundreds of thousands of dollars in a paper bag, right? So people are playing on the finger. They are playing and putting this on the tab, which technically the game runner is responsible for making sure everybody is paid, right? The game runner is taking a rate from the game. And so part of being able to profit off of the games that they're running is making sure that people are paid out properly. But again, what happens is some of these VIPs or these whales, they end up losing maybe more money than they have access to at that time because, again, they're playing on credit. And so slow paying happens a lot where you don't get paid for months and months until they end up having access to the money. Sometimes you end up getting paid, but if you win a large sum, you're never going to get paid right away. You don't even get paid, you know, within the first month or two. And then there's definitely the chance of getting stiffed because, again, you know, the game runners are technically vouching for these players, but the game runner doesn't have millions of dollars that they could just start paying out to people if the game gets stiffed. And so if the game gets stiffed, what usually happens is the professionals end up being the ones that get paid, that don't get paid because they want to pay out the whales, right? Say that a VIP player loses to a whale, but also loses to a pro. Well, guess what? If you're a pro, they tell you, you should just be happy that you got into such a good game, that you got such a good spot. You know, they're not going to pay us out before they pay out the VIP.
We are talking to Maria Ho. I am fascinated by this. I covered the World Series of Poker 1 year, and Phil Hellmuth was there playing, and I kind of watched his table. And everybody at the table knew they were playing against this guy who had won the World Series of Poker, right? So it's just a bunch of, you know, people who are hopeful to finish high in this tournament. And I was watching kind of the behavior of the players at the table, and I thought to myself, what a terrible position for Hellmuth to be in, because everybody wanted to be all in against him. And so everybody was, you know, playing very aggressively. Do you encounter that, given your success as a Hall of Famer and somebody who's been on TV and everybody knows who you are when you're at the table?
Yeah, there's definitely sometimes players who come in, you know, they sit down at the table and they recognize who you are and they want to go home with a story, right? They want to say they busted you. They want to say they outplayed you. They bluffed you. They bad beat you. And so they start to target you because they want to be involved in hands and pots with you. But I think that a true professional is going to be able to adapt and adjust to a player that's playing that way. And so, you know, you mentioned Phil Hellmuth. He's definitely someone who, you know, you're going to be more susceptible to bad beats because you're such a well-known poker player.
Yeah.
But that also means that you might catch people bluffing more. And if you do, like if you know this player is sitting down and they just want to go home and tell their friends at their home game, like, guess what? I bluffed Phil Hellmuth. Well, then maybe you're just going to have to call that person a little lighter or a little wider because the chances of them trying to bluff you goes up. So I think, you know, it's up to every professional to recognize when those types of players are at their table and adjust and adapt their strategy accordingly.
Let me ask you, you know, these private games, have you heard of them? Had you heard of them before involving professional athletes, former athletes, NFL players, Major League Baseball players? And when this comes up with Chauncey Billups and these other players, does it surprise you or do you go, oh, yeah, I've heard of this stuff happening all over the place?
Yeah, in terms of the types of players that play in these games, I'm not surprised to see athletes, professional athletes, you know, people in the entertainment industry and all of those people. You know, I've played with so many different people under the sun from all different walks of life, but definitely there is that celebrity element that shows up a lot at these private games because they get some anonymity, right? Let's say that there is a professional athlete who wants to play, but they don't want to go to a casino and then have everybody whispering and gossiping and having it show up on page six that so-and-so lost, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing this casino game. So, you know, they're not necessarily trying to cheat the game or trying to get a leg up, but they just want to play in a place where nobody's going to bother them, no one's going to talk about them playing, and nobody really knows whether they won or lost. So I've definitely played against those types of players and been in home games that had those types of players show up. But as far as there being news of them being involved directly in cheating, this is the first time where something like that has been proven or connected in a way to these types of players. And so most of the time, I think people don't really bat an eyelash when they see someone quote unquote famous show up at these games because it happens quite often. But to hear that they could potentially be involved in something that is, you know, unsavory and a part of kind of cheating the other players, I don't know if that's something that it's always been a possibility, but I don't think anybody has really ever had concrete proof or have ever really suspected it to the point where they're like, oh yeah, this actually seems really weird. Now there's plenty of people who run games that you just start hearing like these people are cheating their games. And so you stay away from those home games. But to know that they're kind of in cahoots with some of these celebrities is definitely something a little bit different than what we know of in the past.
You gave a TED talk and, you know, it was on decision making, and I loved it. I watched it. It went in depth. Like, as a poker player, you are constantly making decisions on the fly. And one of the things you talked about is you said, think long, think wrong. Help us understand that from somebody who's been at a poker table, and you probably use that in your regular life as well.
Yeah, I feel like us as humans, you know, we tend to maybe overanalyze, especially when it comes to a big decision, right? So even beyond the poker table, talking about big life decisions like whether to quit your job and go after something else or whether to move across the country. I mean, these types of decisions we end up thinking about and analyzing it to death, and then we get decision paralysis basically, and we almost feel like we're unable to make a decision because we're so afraid of making the wrong decision. And what I encourage people in my TED talk is, you know, whether it is as life-changing of a decision as something that I mentioned, or whether it's just you sitting at the poker table and you in that split second needing to decide, should I call or should I fold in this spot, you want to get to a point where you've streamlined your decision-making process enough so that you can make a decision in a high-pressure situation and then feel good about it and then not focus so much on the results, but just know that your process has been honed so much that you are now kind of deferring to it in an instinctual way where, you know, which I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, is poker all about math or is there room for, you know, instinct and for trusting your gut? And there absolutely is, because instinct is not rooted in, you know, something that isn't intellectual. It actually really stems from the information you gathered from your past experiences or from making decisions in the past and finding out what worked and what didn't. And it's just your brain accessing that information in the moment, and then you feel like it's your gut telling you something, but really it again is a very intellectual process that you're undertaking. And so I always encourage people to work on learning how to make good decisions so that when a big decision comes, they're ready and they're able to make it in a timely manner.
I think that's great advice for parents who, you know, do everything for their kids. Let your kid make some mistakes when they're young and make some decisions and learn how to sort things out. Maria, really good stuff. I am grateful for you coming on the show. You've got such a good story. You came to the United States at 4 years old. You've won beauty pageants. You've sang in a band. You've got, you know, 2 degrees in communication and law. You've won, so many millions of dollars in poker. You're broadcasting. You're doing all these big things. What'd your parents think, by the way, with a law degree and a communications degree, you're playing poker? Your parents going, hey, come on, we thought you were going to be a lawyer, or what? Or are they okay with it?
Oh, no, they hate it to this day. You know, it doesn't really matter the amount of success I may or may not have had at the tables. They're always like, you know what, poker is not what we wanted for you. And being in a casino 24/7 is just not what we envisioned for our daughter. So, you know, they've learned to accept it because I've been doing it for so long, but they definitely wanted me to take a much more conventional career path. But I just feel really fortunate that it's worked out for me, and I get to play a game that I love for a living and do so much outside of it as well. So I feel really, really grateful for the journey.
All right, last one. How will this news this week, the FBI, the Department of Justice, that private game, does it impact the world of private poker games in your mind? Do you think people cool off and stop playing, or does it weed out some of the shady actors that maybe go underground for a while? How much was that talked about in your world?
Yeah, I feel like there's a part of it where I think, you know, people who are actively right now cheating the games that they're in and part of these types of cheating rings, I think that they might see this as, okay, well, this is a real wake-up call and nobody is above the law. And, you know, if the FBI is going to take their time to, you know, obviously investigate, and these caliber of people and players, you know, what's going to stop them from, you know, coming after our game next? And so I think it does put a little bit of a warning out to those people and put them on notice. But at the end of the day, I think greed just overrides everything else. And I feel like as long as there's going to be money to be made, even if it's at the expense of other people and cheating these games, and now that the technology is so easily accessible to make cheating so streamlined, I feel like, unfortunately, it's going to continue. But I do want to say, you know, I don't want to deter people in general from feeling like poker is a fun game to learn, or that there aren't any safe environments to play poker in, because that's not true. I mean, there's definitely home games that, you know, they're not rigged. These people are not trying to profit. They're just trying to play with their friends. It's usually low stakes, stakes that won't hurt anybody. You know, those games are usually going to be clean. You don't really have to worry about it because the people running them are not trying to profit off of them because they're not raking them. And they're not doing anything illegal by not raking them. And also, you know, if you're playing for smaller stakes, there's just less incentive to cheat because the risk is not really worth the reward. So definitely I don't want people to shy away from, you know, going and playing home games with their friends. And certainly casino games are much more safer. And poker is just such a great game that I hate that this is the type of press that puts poker in the news. But I think that the best thing I can tell people is just be careful. Keep your head on a swivel. You know, just never trust people or situations that you're not that familiar with. And if you feel a little bit uncomfortable, then just don't ever come back.
Maria Ho, you're the best. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me.
You bet. There she goes, Stephen Vaughn. Quick download there. I just fantastic. I thought that was educational, informative. She can talk it in a way that I can understand it. And I learned something there.
100%. Yeah, she was awesome. Incredible. Very interesting stuff there. Talking about how they like to use these celebrities to get people in, and but just how far they'll go to cheat and rig the games, and how, you know, she says it's pretty hard to spot, but if you can see it, then it makes it very clear. So yeah, she was incredible. I really liked that interview.
I am, you know, because she's been used as one of those people. Let's bring Maria into the game. Maria's on the Amazing Race. Maria's in the Hall of Fame. You've seen Maria on the World Series of Poker. She's, you know, she went further than any woman in the year that she went. You know, she's in the Hall of Fame. She's won $5 million. Come play in this poker game. She's there. Yeah, I think you have to be really careful if you're that person, which games you play in and what rooms you end up in. And when she starts talking about the cheating, it makes me want to be like, all right, play poker with your friends. If you want to play poker for money, go to a casino. But even then, like, I think you got to kind of wonder. I would love phone calls on this. I want your reaction. 503-417-7575. The BFT jury is going to talk Chauncey Billups coming up top of the hour.